All right, we're going to continue on our study of numbers in the Bible. If you would, get your Bible, turn to John 15. That's where we're going to start today. John chapter 15. We are up right now to number 9. I'm going to be starting this one off. It's going to be a little different than what we've been doing. So just bear with me a little bit and follow along, and hopefully it'll make some sense here after a little while, Lord willing. You got John chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 5. John 15:5 says this. Jesus speaking, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. All right, this is, I think y'all are going to like this. I think this will be some fun. We'll show you something here. Remember, we did number 6. That's the number of a man. That's the best that man can do, but altogether man is incomplete. No matter how good we think we are, we always fall short. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. Doesn't matter how good or holy or perfect or just we think we are, we always come short of the glory of God. Then you remember 7 was the number for divine completion or divine perfection, if you want to call it that. That's whenever man is short in number 6, then he finds the one, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the one that makes us complete. He's the one that can get us to that divine number 7 of divine completion or perfection. And after that, after we reached number 7, the next step is number 8, which we went over, and we said that was new beginnings. I showed you that last week. 2 Corinthians 5:17 there says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we were short in our own shortcomings there as number 6. We found Jesus Christ, the one who made us 7. After you get Jesus Christ, you get washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you have all things become new to you. You have that new beginning in 8, and the next step there logically then is number 9. After you get saved, after you get that new beginning, you should start bearing fruit. And that's what number 9 is, and that's what we have here in John 15:5, where the Bible says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So the next step after a sinful man finds Jesus Christ and becomes a new creature is that he should start bearing some fruit. But the problem is a lot of saved people do not. But you should start bearing some fruit for the Lord if you abide in him. That's walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. I believe this has a lot to do. I think this is what the parable in Matthew chapter 13 is about. Turn over to Matthew chapter 13. The parable of the sower here. I know this isn't taught and preached very much this way, but I believe, and I'll show you the Bible here to let you kind of understand my train of thought here. Matthew chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 3. We're going to read the parable as the Lord gave it, and then later on in the chapter, we're going to read his explanation of that parable. And I think this will make a lot of sense after we go out over it. Remember, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There in Matthew 13, picking up in verse 3, the Bible says this, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell in good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Then the Bible says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You jump down to verse 18, that's where the explanation of this parable is. Verse 18, Matthew 13, 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understand it not, Then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This first group rejected, they did not accept the word of God, therefore they have no faith there. Verse 20, but he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So we have the four different groups here. The first one we're talking about is the wayside. That's best described in verse 4 there. Verse 4, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Notice the seed there on the wayside. It never got planted. It never went forth. It never went from a seed into a plant. It never sprouted. There was no new creature there. There was no new birth. There was no growth of any kind. It was all... It just stayed a seed and was unfruitful. It never sprung up. That's folks that hear the word of God. They don't receive it. They don't accept it. There's no salvation there. There's no growth. There's no new creature. None of that. And the second one we have is the stony places. That's in verse 20 and 21, where the Bible says, but he that receiveth the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. So there's him receiving the word of God and getting saved. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Notice they received the word of joy, the stony place seeds here. They received the words with joy. They sprung forth. There's a new birth. There's a new creature. Now it's no longer a seed. It is a plant. But that plant faints and it's unfruitful because of tribulation and persecution. The Bible says, because of the word. You know what that is? That's saved people who cannot handle the hardships of the Christian lifestyle, you know, giving up sin and living a separated life, living a crucified life, and they become unfruitful and worldly. They decide that what this world has to offer is so much better than what the Bible says, and so they choose the world over the word of God, and therefore they're unfruitful. They're still a new plant, they just don't bring forth any fruit. They're very unfruitful Christians. The third group there we have the seed that fell among the thorns. That's verse 22. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So notice here again, we have that seed receiving the word, okay, got saved, they sprung forth, there's a new birth, there's a new creature there, but then the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches says choke the word. Okay, this also leads to unfruitfulness here. What this is saved people in bad environments that care too much about their jobs or their wealth. They don't have Christian friends or a good family environment. What they are is, you know, like kids that we see that get saved and they're in a bad home environment. They stop coming to church. Maybe they move away. Something else happens. They're separated away from us or from church and from a good Christian environment. They don't get to grow up in that nurturing Christian environment. They're not in a good situation there. And so they become unfruitful. They fall in because of the cares of this world, worrying about, well, where's the next paycheck going to come from? What am I going to have to eat? What's going on here? And they just care so much about that they choke out and they become unfruitful and they never show anything for the Lord, even though they are that new creature in Jesus Christ. They are that new creation. They're sprung forth. And then finally, that fourth group, we have the good ground in verse 23. Bible says, but he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So here not only do we have the good seed that did spring up, it received the word of God, but it says, the Bible says, it understandeth it, understanding the word of God. That's where you get great spiritual growth. That's where you bear much fruit. And that's you know what that is? That's saved people in a good Bible-believing church with a good church family, and they have a desire to please God and to abide in Christ. What that is, that's the Wednesday night crowd. That's those of you that show up for Wednesday night. Those are very fruitful Christians because they understand the Word of God, because they get the Word of God. Not only do they read their Bibles, but they hear preaching based on the Word of God. They hear the Word of God preached and taught in their church. And they're engulfed and they're immersed in the Word of God, and you start understanding it, and that's where you start bearing fruit. You see people get saved, you lead people to the Lord, and you get to see that fruitfulness in other people's lives. And we have a number that is associated with that fruit bearing, and it's the number 9. That's what we're on right now. Ladies, how long do you have to carry a baby before that baby comes out? That's 9 months is how long you are carrying that baby until that seed comes out and becomes your fruit, the fruit of your loins, and that duration is 9 months. That's just a little practical application, but turn over to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. I'm going to give you some Old Testament accounts of this. Genesis 17 and verse 1, let me point this out, Genesis 17, 1, that's 17th chapter, first verse, 1, 7, 1, 1 plus 7 plus 1, that's 9. And then the Bible says this, Genesis 17, 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. There's some fruit. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. There's more reference to that fruit. Verse 5, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. There's some more of the fruit. Look at verse 6. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, of kings shall come out of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. So the Bible here in Genesis 17, 1 through 6 here, remember the 1 plus 7 plus 1 is 9. Abraham, whenever he's 99 years old, the Lord makes a covenant with him and says that you're going to be very fruitful. I mean, Abram had no children at this point in time. God is promising him seed, and he's promising him a lot of seed, many nations, the Bible says. He's going to be exceeding fruitful, the Bible says. And that all happens here in Genesis 17 when Abram is 99 years old. You say, well, he didn't start having kids until later. Yeah, I understand. But God made a covenant with him. Whenever God covenants something, that's just as good as it being done already. Okay, you have full assurance that that's going to happen. And that happens in Genesis 17:1 when Abram is 99 years old. Turn to Genesis 9, verse 9. Abram's not the only one that the Lord did this with. Genesis 9:9, we'll see it with Noah as well. Genesis 9:9, the Bible says, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl and of the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And you read on there and you find out that covenant that the Lord is making is that he will never again destroy the whole earth with a flood and kill every living creature like he just got done doing. And that's whenever he sets the rainbow up in the sky as his promise to Noah and to all mankind that he's never again going to flood the world to that extent and destroy all life. But this covenant here happens just two verses after the Bible says this, Genesis 9:7, and you be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons and with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. So God makes a covenant with Noah that he's never going to destroy the earth again with the flood. And he says this right after he gets done telling Noah that I want you to go out and be fruitful, and I want you to multiply, and I want you to fill up the world again. And all this happens after this covenant, again, surrounded by nines in Genesis 9:9. God makes this statement here. 9 also has something to do with covenants. You'll remember I've just given you a couple examples, but we're going over the primary definition of these words, and secondary definition of 9 would definitely have something to do with covenants, but you can search that out yourself if you'd like. And turn over to 1 Corinthians. I'll give you some New Testament on this number 9 and the fruitfulness there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where we're going to start there. We're going to start in verse 4. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. There's one. You'll notice as we go through this, we're talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's going to be 9 of them here. Let's go ahead and count them as we go. And we can see that it's coming from the Holy Spirit, and there's 9 of them. And they're gifts that the Holy Spirit gives you to help you to be more fruitful follower of Jesus Christ. Pick it back up in verse 8. Let's count them as we go. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. There's one. To another, word of knowledge, that's 2, by the same Spirit. To another, faith, that's 3, by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing, there's 4, by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, there's 5. To another, prophecy, 6. To another, discerning of spirits, there's 7. To another, diverse kinds of tongues, there's 8. And to another, the interpretation of tongues, there's 9. But all these work at that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Remember, these are the things that the Holy Spirit enables you to do. Okay, they are gifts from God for you to use for him, and there's 9 of them listed here, some of which don't pertain to us anymore, and we'll hit those whenever we get there. But starting off at the top of our list, we have wisdom there, and that's knowing how to properly apply the knowledge that you have. Remember, knowledge, the second gift there of the Holy Spirit, is obtaining a lot of information. That's knowing how to do something, or that's having information on something, just compiling information. That's what knowledge is. Knowledge is like knowing how an engine works, but wisdom is applying that knowledge to be able to get your car up and running. Okay, wisdom is application, good, beneficial application of knowledge, because you could have knowledge that's not worth anything, but you don't want that kind. You want the wisdom that goes with it. The third one we have there is faith. And that's something interesting. Did you realize that faith is a gift from the Holy Spirit? It is something that the Holy Spirit enables you to have, and it's something that the Holy Spirit strengthens within you. And to some people, he makes it a lot easier. He gives some people more faith than others. And he can allow, and you see it among Christians. You'll notice that some of them, for some Christians, it's a lot easier for them to be able to just step out in faith, to be able to trust in the Lord and just step out and say, okay, Lord, you want me to do this? I'm just going to do it. And they just step out in faith to do that. That's the Holy Spirit giving them the gift of faith to please God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible says. So God enables you to please him with the faith given to you by the Holy Spirit. Okay, the next one we have on the list, number 4 there, is healing. And that is an apostolic gift that died out with the apostles. God still does answer prayers. He will answer prayers. He will heal people through answered prayers and everything. He does take away cancer. He does, you know, fix different ailments and everything. Surely you can think of examples of saved folks that went in. I remember a lady growing up that she had cancer. I think it was brain cancer. And she had brain cancer there, and the doctors were saying, oh, it's terminal, it's going to kill you, you've got 6 weeks to live or 3 weeks to live or however long it was. And we just kept praying about it as a church, and she goes in for a checkup, and they say, maybe the x-rays were wrong. And I said, well, something's off here, because that cancer's not progressing like it's supposed to. If anything, it's in remission and it's going away, and she ended up living several years after that, because God still does heal through prayer, and he still answers that, but no longer is it the time like the Apostle Paul, where he's walking by and they're putting their lame and their sick just for the shadow of Paul to pass across them to heal them. That doesn't happen anymore. You don't get little prayer hankies from the TV evangelist and that heals somebody. That doesn't happen, okay? That's an apostolic power that died out with the apostles. That's why Paul had to travel around with Luke, who was a doctor, to help take care of him. And he also left Trophimus sick, the Bible says. And so that's something that no longer applies to us. That was apostolic powers. Number five is along that same line, that's working of miracles. And it was used primarily, remember those miracles that the apostles performed, that was used primarily as a sign for the Jews, since they require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom, but the Jews require a sign, the Bible says. Prophecy number six, that's preaching. That's God's gift. God gifts some Christians with the ability, with the spiritual gift of being able to preach really well, and it comes very natural to some of them. I don't think I have that, but I've heard some preachers that they just seem like they've been preaching their whole life or something. They were just made for it. It's just the spiritual gift that they have of prophecy, of that preaching. Number seven is discerning of spirits. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit. Try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." That's a spiritual gift of being able to discern spirits. Is this right or wrong? Is this of God or not? And the thing is, God gives us the tool that we need to be able to do this. He gives us the Bible. We get a more sure word of prophecy, the Bible says, and that's your King James Bible right here. You measure it up with the book. If it's in line with the book, that could very well be the Holy Spirit working or doing something there. But there are many other spirits that are not the Holy Spirit that are seen in vision by so-called prophets like Joseph Smith. He said he saw an angel. I bet he did. Muhammad said he saw an angel. I bet he did, but they were not angels of God. They were the wrong spirits. They said things contrary to the word of God. Therefore, that was a false spirit. That was a demonic spirit and not the Holy Spirit. But in order to discern that spirit, you use the Bible. That's how we know. That's how you can discern spirits, and it's easier for some to feel than others and some to use than others, and that's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Number eight is diverse kinds of tongues. And that's being able to speak in many different languages. Number nine is the interpretation of tongues. That's being able to understand many different languages. Those are two different things. But either way, those are gifts from the Holy Spirit. And these nine that we're given here, if you want to be fruitful, you're going to use some of these nine that are still applicable to us. Some of these nine for the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be fruitful in Him, you use the gifts of the Holy Spirit for Him to be fruitful, and there's nine of those, because these are gifts given by the Holy Spirit of God to help Christians live a more fruitful existence for the Lord. Now turn over to Galatians chapter 5. I'd like to point this out. Galatians is the ninth book in your New Testament. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then you have Galatians, the ninth book of the New Testament. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 is where we're going to start. 5, 2, and 2, 5 plus 2 plus 2, there's 9 again. In Galatians 5, 22, we're talking about 9 and the fruit and fruit bearing. Galatians 5, 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is," count them, "love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance." There's nine of them. Again, against such there is no law. And these are different things that come out of a Christian who is walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. These are not things that the Holy Spirit forces you to do. They're not gifts that He gives you. But whenever you are living your life according to the Bible, whenever you're trying to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, these are attributes and characteristics that you exhibit because of your walk with Jesus Christ and bearing fruit. You're going to have more meekness. You're going to have more temperance. You're going to have more love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and all these good things. You're going to show those in your life. That's fruit that comes from living the crucified life. If we use the gifts that God gives us in 1 Corinthians 12, we will show forth the fruit of the Spirit that we have here in Galatians 5. But you remember the parable of the sower? Remember how important the word was there, those four different types? Remember the seeds that sprouted were the ones that accepted the word, and the seeds that bore fruit, the very last group, the one that bore the fruit, was the one that understood the word. In order to be fruitful, what you have to do is you have to have the word of God. You have to understand the word, but to understand it, you have to have it. And we know, I've showed you here today, that we know that 9 is associated with the fruit of the Spirit, or with bearing fruit. So what you need the Word of God in order to bear fruit. What you need is that the Holy Bible, HOLYBIBLE, there's 9 letters. That's going to help you bear fruit. You say, which Bible? There's so many. How about King James, KingJames? That's 9 letters right there. By the way, what year did that King James Bible come out in the English language? That was 1611, wasn't it? 1611. 1 + 6 + 1 + 1, there's 9. So you got Holy Bible, there's 9. You got King James, there's 9. You got 1611, there's 9. And what did we say the number 3 was? Number 3 was completeness. Like, it's all-encompassing. If you list 3 things, it's kind of all-encompassing to that. If you want to have fruit in your Christian life, you have to have the Word of God. You have to understand the Word of God. You've got to be immersed in the Word of God. You've got to be living according to the Word of God. You've got to be discerning spirits according to the Word of God. You need that Word of God. So you have to have it. You have to have the King James Bible. If you want to bear much fruit, you have to have the Word of God. So much goes back to this book. You can't do much for the Lord if you don't have the Word of God. That is your sword. Okay, that is your weapon. That is your stay. That is your love letter from the Lord. Whatever you want to call it, that is what God has given you in this day and age to live your complete Christian life. Everything you need to know from cover to cover, right there in front of you, black and white and red. But you better be reading it. That's what you need if you want to bear fruit. You need that number 9. You're going to show it. You're going to need that Bible. And that's where we're going to stop today.